remember the old school books you used to have in the bookcase?
Mm-hmm.
There was a science book, a physics book. It's like a law of physics.
Mm.
It says something like, matter cannot cease to exist. It can only change forms, something like that.
That doesn't sound wrong.
That's what I thought. I thought that sounds like bullshit.
Mm.
But here's the thing. Say, like, a piece of wood. Huh? If you burn it, does it cease to exist?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
No, it turns to ash. It changes form, but it still exists as ash.
Oh, so what are you saying?
Well, I'm matter.
Yeah.
Right? I'm matter, right? You're matter. We're all matter. We cannot cease to exist. We can only change form.
So nobody does.
Nobody does. Nobody does.
Everybody, welcome back to episode 15 of Wicked Garden Podcast, Wisconsin Dogman and Bigfoot with Jay Bichochin. And on tonight's show, we've got an interview with a great documentarian who has an interview out on Amazon Prime, has a documentary out on Amazon Prime by the name of Finding Jay. It's a great show. It is a Bigfooters documentary for Bigfoot. It is just chock full of evidence and a really good watch on Amazon Prime. So check it out. I'm your host, Mike.
I'm your co-host, Tracy.
And we wanted to have that interview tonight with Jay. He was kind enough to come on. We've got that coming up for you after the break, but want to take care of some business briefly. If you have a cryptid sighting, a haunting, a UFO encounter, we would love to hear about it. Please get together with us on our email, which is
WickedGardenPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you would like to call us and leave a 3-minute brief message and have us call you back so we can get your story and get you on the podcast, that hotline number is
609-800-5130. One more time, that's 609-800-5130.
And we wanted to also thank our Patreons for their patronage, and we're going to shout those guys out. That's Penny Brown.
Lynette Gray, Georgie Malden Bush.
And Marie Bouget-Terrell. And speaking of Patreon, it's a great way to support the show. We are trying to make more episodes for you. You know, the show is free to listen to, but it's not free for us to make. We would appreciate it if you guys would consider becoming patrons. It helps us fund the show and make more shows for you. You can swing on over to Patreon and search for Wicked Garden Podcast. And for as little as $1 a month, you can get a extra episode and extra content. We post videos there. We do just regular blog posts there. We do extra whole shows. And our last episode we did, How to Change Your Life in 30 Days is chock full of paranormal evidence from recent investigations of ours, as well as some really good, solid advice on how to live your life. So check it out. Consider becoming a patron. Right now it's $1 a month. I am going to raise that threshold to $3 a month and grandfather everybody in who is already in at $1 a month in the new year. So now's the time to get in while you can. And also wanted to thank some people who have been leaving us reviews online. Really appreciate that. That's another way to support the show. If you can't do it monetarily, at least go give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It helps get us up on the rankings and gets our show out to more people. So I've got some Apple Podcast reviews here that I'm going to read. The first one is from JMM49. Love it, Mike and Tracy. 5-star review. And here's another one from Kate, ALBZ. Wicked Garden is a great podcast. It's nice to see a married couple take on the pod world together. Their interaction makes you feel like you're sitting in their living room. That's very nice. Thank you very much. And then I have another one here from CMSSEP. I love this podcast. My first episode was Route 55. I traveled that road 6 days a week. In fact, I went to school with Big Daddy's oldest child. I lived in the same development as him and his family in South Jersey. The abbreviation name of the development is HP.
Good. That's so interesting.
Okay, you don't want to give away where Big Daddy lives.
I guess.
Good people, I would enjoy a episode about his paranormal experiences. So hopefully we'll have him back on for you. And this podcast is great. I highly recommend it. Really appreciate that. And then Mind Body Self Health left us one, a 5-star review that basically just says thanks. So awesome. We appreciate that too.
Right.
And we got a really nice shout out on Facebook. A gentleman sent me a message from the UK. His name is Matthew J. Leggett. He was kind enough to send me a bunch of stuff last night. And he said, hey, just found you guys. Great show. Cheers, Matt in the UK. Thanks, Matt.
We really appreciate it, Matt.
So on tonight's show, as I mentioned, we have an interview with Jay Pachochin. Jay is a paranormal investigator, also a Bigfoot hunter, and he is located in Wisconsin. He's done work trying to track down Dogman, Bigfoot. He's done some paranormal investigations. Really good guy. It was a pleasure to interview him, and we'll have that for you right after this brief message.
My name is Mike Familons, and I'm the producer and lead investigator for the show In the Shadow of Big Red Eye. Are you tired of seeing repeat episodes of fake Bigfoot shows? Do you want to join me and my team and see what a true investigation is really like? Then get your knocking stick and let's go. Full episodes of In the Shadow of Big Red Eye can be found by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Sussex County Bigfoot. Also be sure to like In the Shadow of Big Red Eye's Facebook page and follow us on Instagram for giveaways and show updates.
And joining us on the line is Jay Pachochin. Jay, thanks a lot for joining us. It's a real pleasure to speak with you. We really enjoyed finding Jay and wanted to share the experience with our listeners. One of the things we really liked about the documentary was, you know, the theme of family throughout the whole thing. That really came through. Our interest in paranormal subject was, you know, fostered by our family members. Was that something you were going for? When you set out to make the doc?
Actually, well, thank you very much for having me on, number one. I appreciate that. Sure. Not necessarily, because when I go out to investigate or, you know, research my areas, a documentary was not even in mind. So, I mean, it just kind of came to play in 2017 when I had so much. I record everything, all audio, all video, all photos, and they all go into an external hard drive, which I have like 2-4 terabytes full. And you know what? That's just the abyss. You know, you could post them on social media, Facebook. You can talk about them. Next week, it's old news. Where did it go? Where does that information go? So that's what really led me into putting something together, you know, kind of a story-wise. Now, it is true. I like to take my kids out, get them away from the technology, get them out into, you know, into the wilderness, into nature, and even come across a raccoon print or a deer print and be able to identify those. I mean, it's fun, and it gets to enjoy nature, such as myself. You know, my wife, I think kind of like you, Tracy, a little bit. She maybe believes in that possibility, but not for sure. I mean, I guess I'm the same way. I don't know exactly what's out there, I say. But she likes to have her little bubble. And she's more of an indoor girl. I'm more of outside. So when I do go hiking, it's usually just with me and the kids. My wife has gone out with me a couple times. But you know, just looking back at everything I have done with my kids, just seeing their expressions of you know, what it's like out there, and to be able to come back and talk about it and make memories that way. So that's generally why I'd bring me out, because they're the world to me.
Yeah, you're in good company on that, wanting to get out to nature. We do several conversations with other podcasters and YouTubers and such that investigate Sasquatch or aliens or whatever, and a big driver for a significant proportion of them is just get out to nature, turn the phone off, and go see what's out there.
Exactly.
Oh, exactly. And I, you know, and I always say that I don't criticize the armchair researchers out there, because a lot of people may not have access to get out into nature. Say somebody who lives in the city of Chicago, or, you know, who doesn't really have that wilderness or whatnot. But I'm strictly boots to ground. I always say, you know, you got to hunt the truth. And the only way to hunt the truth is to be out in it, out in the field. And that's primarily why I do what I do. Again, I don't judge or criticize those they call armchair researchers who seem to know everything because they get everything off the internet or reading a book, which, believe me, is great. Read those books. But I want to be a credible researcher that is not going to prove Bigfoot exists to the world, because everybody's already trying to do that. And my thing is, the experience that I have found out there, I need to prove it to myself. And I believe that's my main goal right now, is not to go out and actually try to video or photograph or grab captures of sound of what Sasquatch is. Now I believe it's out there. Now I want to know what it is, what's its origin. So it's more or less, I'm out there trying to make contact.
Yeah, it's interesting, because we read your bio, and you've moved into this world of Sasquatch post a couple other paranormal avenues, right? We understood, like, in 1979, you had this experience with your family, again, back to family, right, Mike? I mean, yeah. It seems to always be rooted in family, that kind of drove you into even the thinking outside of the box and thinking about and questioning what's normal versus what's not.
Yeah, what happened in 1979? You guys had an interesting experience.
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool. And the thing is, date myself. I'm 52, so you can imagine in 1970. Looking back, only, what, 10 years old. But my sister and my mom were coming home from a school event on a Friday night called Teen Canteen in Lindenhurst, Illinois. And you know, we're all home on Friday nights, but I remember my sister coming in crying, saying we're being invaded. And I mean, she was really upset. And we started walking to the door, and my mom was still standing out there looking in the eye, saying, we've been following this light, you know, for the past 10 minutes we've been watching it. Sure, as my younger brother and older brother both came out, all of us were standing out there looking into the night sky, seeing the bizarre lights of something in the sky. Now, it seemed low enough, and it was very quiet, that you couldn't hear. And the bizarre thing is the lights would turn off, and it would be, I'm going to say maybe 700 yards in a different direction in the sky in a blink of an eye. And then it would do its hovering, light spinning, and it would do that or two, never move. It would blink out, and then it would be in a different location. It, you know, we still talk about it till this day. At this point, it was like, wow, what are we looking at? And of course, in my documentary, I mentioned my grandpa Kay, Ted Kalin, who was the early chapters of MUFON in Chicago. And he has had so many sightings that he and I really bonded. And what I learned over all that time was he was like a young, I would say, Fox Mulder, or Karl Kochak. You know, he was the original guy who was looking for the truth, and helped me, I believe, to understand that there is more to this world that we think we know. That so he kind of gave me that push.
Yeah, and he was an aviator too, right, Jay?
Yeah, correct. He was a pilot. He actually took me up in the first little Cub plane, right at airport, right in Chicago, and took me over Lake Michigan. My first time, I remember I was in sixth grade, and exactly. He was a pilot, so he, you know, you're trained to, you know, as a pilot to be able to identify things, you know, in the night sky or the day, and that's what makes him a pilot.
Gotcha. So you also had an interesting experience when you were 10 years old. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And that was a shared experience with another person.
Yeah, in this bizarre thing, because this was right around the same year as seeing that UFO. Again, I was right around 10. Star Wars just came out. All the action figures came out as well. And I remember being my next door neighbor's, he was a friend of mine, was like 2 years younger than I was. So he's like 8 years old. And we were playing Star Wars figures up in his bedroom on a beautiful sunny day. I remember the blue sky, the clouds. He had a big windowsill that you could actually kind of sit on. And we were sitting there. And then all of a sudden, everything went dark for about 5 seconds. The only way I can explain it to people is close your eyes for 5 seconds. Them. That's what happened. Now, it was weird because I had no idea what that was. I mean, it wasn't like or anything. But here was the weird thing. My young friend Dave, my friend, said, "Did the lights just turn out?" So wow. He experienced it too. A complete dark. You gotta understand this. Was in the trying to think if it was the summer or not, but whatever it was well lit. And there was nothing that could have gone in front of the window to block all the light. It's not like there was an eclipse. And even if there was, it never blocks out all the light. It's literally as if you are closing your eyes for seconds. That's what it was like. So that was bizarre to me because how can two people share that? Right. And again, the journey of, you know, the weird, strange, and unusual.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So I'm fascinated with your story because in your early life, you're sitting here talking about things that are paranormal from almost an alien-like perspective. And I understand you like dove kind of headfirst into paranormal and yet another avenue. Like in 2007, you and your wife started a couple of organizations that are still away from the cryptids and the Sasquatch that you do today. But can you tell us about you and Katie starting up the investigative branch and how you got from there into the cryptozoid world?
Again, what I've always pondered, I guess I just never accept things at value and saying they're real. So Ghost Hunters was on TV, Taps, and they always seemed to, and I'm like, you know what though, but this is just TV. Right. I want to go out there and actually try to find what, you know, if those are possible. We began a paranormal group called Wisconsin Paranormal Investigators, WPI, and our slogan was Hunt the Truth. We did not want to be we're the ghosty bunch, and we're going to go look and find ghosts. And no matter what it is, it's their ghosts.
Right.
No, I want to see if this is real or not. And, I mean, Bigfoot, honestly, at that time, again, we'll at that point, but Bigfoot to me at this point was a unicorn, a leprechaun. It didn't exist to me because, I knew about Bigfoot forever, but I'm always like, there's so many people out there looking for it. How have they not found a body yet? So that was off my, so I was focusing on the ghost phenomenon, and I did find that there are explained events that which people, have talk about ghosts. And, I guess with that is I'm still at that point of what is a ghost? I mean, you know, we've our whole lives that they're dead people, you know, or the people that are sticking around, or is it Patrick Swayze or Casper? that's gonna stick around. But do we really know? And nobody really has that answer. I guess 100% believe that's what they are, then that's that person's belief. But for me, it's not. Because alternate or not alternate, but parallel universes that, you know, maybe, you know, there's something that is riding us that's breaking through our plane, which I guess some people say, well, that'd be a ghost because it's, you know, coming from a different dimension. Well, that's fine, but dead person.
Right.
I do have one theory. I call it my title time theory. And I always say, you ever experienced a really, really long day, you know, where the day just seems like it lasts forever?
Today.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yes, I have.
hopefully not at this moment.
No.
Or have you ever had a day that just flew by so fast?
Exactly.
Like you don't even know where the day went. Now, with that, you know, time flies when you're having fun. But it wasn't until 2010 did I realize that somebody in the office was saying, this is so long. And, okay, we're in the same office, so all right, fine. But then a customer came in that's in the office, said, is this the same thing? This day feels like it's forever. And then a little bit later that day, another customer came in, saying the same person, just complaining about this day is dragging, it's taking forever. And that made me think, how is it that we're all associated having a long day, but we're not together? You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
it is
the same office or having fun or whatnot. Yeah. But so that's what made me start thinking of the parallel universes, saying that. And to give you an example, we're going to say in 1910 in Kentucky, John and Sally are walking down a brand new hospital hallway. And all of a sudden, the long day that we experience here, they're having a long day. But now their long day is actually stretching like a tidal wave that actually comes up to, like, let's say I'm investigating Waverly. Same time they break through our plane, we see shadow people. And they see shadow people.
Right.
Now, they have no idea what's going on. They just see in this brand new hospital shadow people. They're ghosts. So all of a sudden, start writing about ghosts and about dead people. And throughout our timeline, what they wrote about and what we're reading about, actually, we're reading about us. So I keep thinking that, you know, and again, these are just some theories, think outside the box, and I just can't let it be just a dead person. And if it is, I mean, by all means, say you hunt the truth, and step number two, repeat step number one. Always just keep thinking outside right? the box.
Right.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely. It's so interesting because my...
And honestly, that's what I do.
There's a lot of questions as to whether time is linear.
Yeah, well,
there's
the time is linear, and then my mother's family is extremely religious. And so they have these experiences that if you talk to another person, they would say it was a ghost, but in their world, it's an angel, right? So this full body apparition shows up and tells them something. In their world, it's an angel, and someone else's, it's a ghost.
Exactly.
They think of someone from the future. Other people think of someone from the past.
And it very well could be. And like you said, who's to say time's linear? And I honestly don't believe that either. I actually think it's more like a bow, like on a Christmas present. And like I think it just keeps coming up. But I always think that within that bow, there's somewhat something linear to create the next loop.
Right.
So, exactly. Yeah, no, I don't look at it as Doc Brown and Back to the Future, you know, 1955, 1985.
Yeah, we're really dating ourselves.
Yeah, but I know. But it's good. It's good to talk to someone and relate that way. So.
Right? We can relate to one another.
You had actually done another project, too, that I didn't even know anything about. And I was reading the bio, and you had mentioned it in there in 2010. And it was about what was going down in La Crosse with some college-age males, individuals who were drowning. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, we actually were... contacted by Neil Sanders out of La Crosse. God bless his soul. He passed away almost about this time. He was my amigo, but he was the one who brought us all together on this investigation. At the time, the Wisconsin Paranormal Investigators had a team of about 10 back then in 2010. 10. So a bunch of us went there. We were actually being asked to investigate the Mississippi River that's right in front of La Crosse, the university, the college. Starting in 1997, a brother were seeing their snow prints were going out to somewhat of the ice on the Mississippi, but yet there was no other footprints around that would say anything about foul play. But that brother died, and it seemed like it was every 2 years we mapped this out into the documentary, which came out 2012. We were finishing up 2012, 2013, called The Truth with a question mark. And it's about if we're looking at all the died, it was all males, college students, athletic, almost like you would think like a serial killer. One of the theories was the smiley face killers on the I-94 corridor.
Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with that case.
That
theory about the smiley face killers.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And the thing is, the reason why these cases brought to the smiley face is because there was like a smiley face that was written down or something not too far the scene was. However, you got to stop and think, what is the biggest universal graffiti Absolutely. That people do?
Right.
And an emoji to this day.
Yeah, exactly. Emoji to this day. Exactly. It's a smiley face. And, you know, my kids will even do that at Walmart or something with coolers, and they all get frosted over, glossed over. They'll make their faces on there, you know.
I was just saying it's an innate thing. I mean, even little kids do it. And
yeah, give them pancakes.
Yeah, give them pancakes and make smiley faces. So it's just part of humans, I think.
Well, exactly. It's the universal. So, but there was only one case, but all the other ones were still very bizarre. Of some of them look like they actually took their clothes off, folded them up, put them aside,
so weird.
willingly went into the Mississippi. So, I mean, again, what is it? There's actually three lakes that all converge right in front of La Crosse, the Wisconsin River, the Mississippi. And if you know anything about the paranormal and rivers, it creates great energy.
Right.
And we've actually Ho-Chunk elders out there. And they believe the same thing, you know, whatever their beliefs are, we don't want to just say it's folklore or in Native American lore. There's gotta be some truth to this. And again, we never found what the truth was. We did an investigation. It's a great documentary. Actually, it was, I was one of the producers, but it was put together by, Marcus, What's Your Ghost Story? And he did an excellent job on it. So, yeah, I still have those available too on DVD.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. Where is that available? Because you know, we looked around tonight. I wanted to definitely check it out.
Yeah, it's only on DVD now. Before the third producer, Neil Sanders, again, like I said, he passed away, and he was my amigo. But we never got it to the level of Netflix or anything like that. But since I got Finding Jay on Amazon Prime, that's what Scott Marcus and I are working on right now, is to get The Hidden Truth on Amazon Prime.
So cool.
That should be, that should be coming. I'm hoping I'm going to say by 2020. But you know, again, we still have a lot of DVDs available, and they can actually just go to my website, purchase them from there.
Yeah, great. We definitely, definitely want to check that out.
We'll want to do that. So it's interesting, Jay, we've been walking through your life, right? And we've gone from aliens to ghosts to timelines and continuums of time and all the way up to
2013.
And you kind of jump on into this cryptozoology world. Was there a specific event that triggered that?
It was October 19th. At 9:34 p.m. See, I'm really good with dates and time.
That's awesome.
And I remember that night like it was, I remember that night like the back of my hand. We were actually looking for Beast of Bray Road, just patrolling. Bray Road, of course, the Beast of Bray Road is the dog man that lives in Elkhorn, which I've also been studying as well. But it's not too far away from the Kettle Moraine. And there was us, and we all, I mean, you're talking about dense woods in the dark in October. I mean, that's what I live for. The four of us just pull off the side of the road and walk into the kettle. We only had like light flashlights at the time. I had my digital tape handy cam, you know, wasn't even, but it was only, yep. was night vision on it. And I'm out there with that honking thing, and it's loud. And we get out there, and all of a sudden, you know, and I always say I'm no Outback Jack. I'm not, you know, Survivor Man or anything like that, where it knows all the animals. But I heard the call that almost sounded simian. I mean, it really did. It almost sounded human, but it wasn't. It sounded like it had a voice spot. And I remember the sound. I was able to catch one clip, but, you know, which is in the documentary, but to live, you know, again, what you hear on the clip doesn't do it justice, but it is what I caught. And the four of them for the next several days were trying to go on all the soundboards of every indigenous animal in Southeast Wisconsin, nocturnal and even day. And you can find the soundboards of deer, all the different sounds a doe makes, fawn makes, a buck makes, with sandhill cranes, or, you know, wolves or coyotes, owls, every type of animal you could think of. We could not find a match, and we all remembered it. I remember going to bed that night after I heard it, and I could still hear it over and over in my head. And I'm like, that just doesn't sound right, you know. Sure. So the only way I could explain it didn't sound like it belonged.
Right.
And at that point, it's not like I went, oh, Bigfoot. No, I didn't. I was just like, what is it? I'm like, is it Dogman? Is, you know, because I think I believed in Dogman before I did Bigfoot. And I'm like, that is interesting, though. Now, you know, being in the paranormal investigative world, you can't just go knock on people's houses and say, hey, do you have a ghost? Can we come and investigate? You kind of have to wait, requested to come and investigate. So instead of doing that, I'm like, we have the Kettle Moraine in our backyard. We can go out and what? So I started getting out as much as I could. At first, it was like once a month. Then it turned into twice a month. And then, you know, once a month, but I'd got to get out there one time a month. And then I started thinking, well, and during those other times, nothing really ever happened, but I was waiting for that call again. So I was bringing out digital audio recorders. I was hoping to catch, never heard that again. Honestly, never heard it since. We've heard different things. Again, don't know what that is, but I wanted to keep. And that wasn't until 2014 in February. It was snowing. Katie actually wanted to go for a hike, just me and her. We had a sitter for the kids, so why not? We just went up there, put on our snow clothes, snow pants, and everything like that, and just started trudging through a couple feet of snow where the trail is. Now, looking for tracks. I'm listening for sounds. What is she doing? She just wants to go hiking. That's all she wants to do. So as I'm stopping to look around, she keeps walking. So she's about 50 yards ahead of me, kind of to my right up, and then she kind of goes on the trail a little bit. And all of a sudden I look and I see these huge imprints that go over them. And I thought, all right, that's weird. And at first it looked like, you know, you ever see a rabbit jump in the snow, how they kind of leave that.
Yeah.
And it looks like, it's almost like a tightrope. It almost looks like feet.
Right.
And I look closer. And I thought, well, is that a deer? And all of a sudden I realized it actually looked like a foot. And I thought that was weird. So here's me. I document everything and I start taking pictures and video, and just then, and this is all in the documentary that I caught, and this is the reason why I want to put it out there, is because all of a sudden I turn around to where the footprints came from, I believe, and all of a sudden at the top of the kettle I hear this knocking. And I always thought, wow, it was weird, because it wasn't your classic finding Bigfoot a couple times like that. It was more, I don't know, it almost sounded like what do you call it, it's right here, like a telegram, okay. Right? Like kind, yep, of a sticks. So I'm thinking, you know, wow, what is that? You know, and it was random, and it was kind of all over. And then I'm like, wow, I'm about to see whatever's making this. So I was actually excited and nervous at the same time. I actually was phoned a video, but I'm actually looking with my eyes, and it just stopped. So all of a sudden, Katie, who's 50 yards away, and he texts me, hey, where are you? So I send her pictures of these footprints going, oh, I'm right here, the prints that you just walked right by.
I'm obtuse that way. I can relate.
I always give her crap for that. But exactly. So then I let her listen to that video and got really big at that time, because she actually thought that was me doing the banging. Because she heard it, but I recorded it. And you could see that it was me. And that at that point in 2014, I think... I don't want to say I think. I was trying to do footprints And I could actually say, all right, the knocking could be anybody. We're out here. We found a tree at the top of the lake, went up there to look for footprints, didn't see anything, but found a fresh tree, broke right at about 7 feet in the air, meaning it would have been broken with physics. It would have had been broke, 10 or 12 feet higher than that, right, to actually bend it down and snap it. And all those things with the combination made me think, you know what? There is something to this, because I couldn't find out the truth and trying to debunk it, and I couldn't. Then I started going out, like I said, I started getting out every weekend, matter, day, night, I was just out there. And that really is what catapulted me into who I am today.
Yeah, and that's kind of
those
what,
2 months.
Kind of what we wanted to talk about. You know, we definitely want to bring it forward to the film itself. Finding Jason, we really enjoyed it. It's a great documentary. I've watched it about 3 times, and it's just chock full of evidence. I mean, you've got audio, you've got visual evidence. You guys are getting rocks thrown at you during it. But it's a 5-year project. I mean, did you really expect to collect that much of evidence in that 5 years? I mean, you really chocked the whole film full of evidence. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and thank you. I'm glad you watched it enough 3 times. I get to some,
yeah, so some people, he's three of them.
On Amazon Prime don't share your, what's it? What was it?
I said he's 3 of them. So yeah,
I'm 3 of your views, Jay.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, exactly. No, because I was never going out there to make a documentary. Right. That's what a lot of people think, is maybe I was filming this for Finding Jay, when that was the case. I just, I needed to know, I mean, this is me trying to be as credible as I can to share with people that are willing to listen, knowing that now Jay doesn't think there's a Bigfoot behind every tree, and Jay's not telling you it's a Bigfoot. You should listen to this, because this stuff is amazing,
Yeah.
We
go out on a fair amount of, investigations ourselves. And, we've been on investigations where we weren't rolling video or we weren't rolling audio and something happened. So if you are a paranormal investigator, you're always rolling audio or you're always rolling video, because you've been taught the hard way that the first time you're not rolling something, that's when something's going to happen. So I completely understand.
That's when it's going to happen.
Right.
Well, yeah, exactly. But a lot of people are trying to roll to try to prove it. And I think that's where I kind of got away with this phenomenon, because I know they're there, but I don't see anybody else going any further than trying to capture evidence, posting it, and being able to experience it. And that's great, but what's the next step? And we said that about, investigating a house or a business. You go there one time, you're there for 8 hours, you go through hundreds of hours that you record on all your DVRs, and you deem it haunted or not from one night. And, it's just like going into the woods here. I can't say if a Bigfoot roams here or what a Bigfoot is if I'm out there one night a month or one night every 6 months. I mean, if I could clone myself, I'd, make sure one of us was out there a week, 24 hours a day if I could.
Sure.
I mean, one of the things we noticed during the film is that you investigate a lot of different areas. So there's a lot of us not familiar with your beautiful state. So if you were to share with the audience, your experiences in Wisconsin and the Kettle Moraine, where would you say you've gathered the most evidence from?
In Wisconsin.
Yeah.
No, what I always say, a lot of people are always saying, can you give me a location, or where's the best place to find it? The thing is here's what I say. I'm not selfish. And it's not my woods, that it's, God's earth's woods. Nobody owns them. So I can't say, don't go there because that's mine. However, the last thing I'd want now is to let, so many people out there into these locations that where I'm out there, where I'm actually trying to, where I've done this now, it's actually been over six and a half years now that I've been going out there, that I can't afford the false positive being out there with other people. And that's the reason why I have so many different locations, is because I don't go out on a certain night. I don't go out on a weekend. I don't go to the same place, and I don't go out every week. So meaning, for somebody to get ahead of me, to give me a false positive, they're going to have to be psychic to do it. You know what I mean? Because I don't I don't post that. However, this pedal has beautiful trails out there, with that being said. And honestly, I have heard reports, well, for me down in the southern unit, but actually going all the way up to the northern unit, Long Lake area, you know, some of these areas, the Kettle Moraine, just to put this out there, is actually what the icebergs caused the Great Lakes, and actually was the last of the icebergs that created the kettles. So if you actually looked at the Kettle Moraine, you would be looking at flat land with trees. However, there's 300 foot deep kettles, and you know, on each side, almost, if you think of what a kettle, and you just kind of drag across there, you've got really deep 200, 300 feet valleys that go right back up, back down. And they're just very, they leave lakes, ponds. The wildlife is plentiful. The habitat is, you can get around in there. It's 55,000 square acres that ranges from, you know, the southern unit, 150 miles north. Look at a map. It's a perfect habitat to actually move from the southern to the northern part of this day, and you get into the Great North Woods in Rhinelander, Eagle River,
right?
And then not next thing you know, you're in Michigan, the UP, that's just wide open. So I'm always thinking, you know, if they are traveling, you know, a lot of people say, how many teeth? I don't know. You know, are they a family? I don't know. I mean, what are they? You know, are they flesh and blood? Are they interdimensional? I wish I could say it, but I think the best answer is going to be, I don't know, but
yeah,
there is some
fair enough answer.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying. Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to document, to try to collect data of when certain things happen in what part of the month, you know, or part of the year, I should say. And to see if some are more so than others, is it a passing place? Is it, and again, that's what I'm trying to do. As a matter of fact, just a week ago, I set out an apple with fishing line on a tree branch, far enough away that no squirrel or any other critter could jump at it, and they're 10 feet in the air. And I mean, the only way, I mean, a squirrel couldn't even shimmy down that fishing line.
Right, it would break.
There's nothing to hold on to.
Yeah,
it'd break unless they found out where it's at, chewed it, dropped it, and they're smart that way, even raccoons or whatnot. But put a trail cam up there, left it out there for a week just to see. This past Saturday, I went out to extract it, and hang in there. So that means no critter got it. But I thought, hey, let's see if I captured something on video, right?
Right.
Because that would make some good social media fun. See a squirrel try to jump at it and leap at it. Right. But I get home, and there's 8 hits on my video of the trail cam. And the first 4 are me setting it up, and the last 5 are me taking it down.
Oh, that's painful.
But so nothing picture triggered through the night. But the thing is, you got to keep trying.
Yeah,
can't say, all right, that was a failure. That was an epic fail. Let's do it again. Try it at a different spot, because you don't know.
And I think the picture, you know, you painted for us is, it's, you know, the area you're investigating in is pretty much like a Squatch Highway. I mean, you've got enough woods there. They come down from the UP. They go, they have that access to go all around. And that's kind of what we were wondering, you know, for those of us that aren't familiar with, you know, how with the Wisconsin woods are laid. So that's what we're really looking for.
Yeah, actually, I call it the green, you know, because it almost looks like, if you look at it from Google Earth, that's all it looks like. And you're like, wow, really? Okay, really? Bigfoot living there? You don't know how immense it is there, you know, and there's just Wisconsin, you know, this type of landscape and everything. But Kettle Moraine is definitely an area where I would think they would be.
Yeah, well, people, you know, are always when they find out that, you know, we're Wicked Garden Podcast, we're, you know, New Jersey Podcast, they're always amazed that we, you know, the first thing they go to is the Sopranos, right, and a bunch of chemical factories up in North Jersey. But we actually have the Pine Barrens, and it's an incredible tract of land, you know, that kind of connects up at the in the northern part of the state over with Pennsylvania and New York. So, you know, we have our fair share of activity here too, but it's always good to have that mental picture.
It is. It helps our listeners kind of put a perspective on it. And having grown up in Southwest Arkansas with the wonderful Boggy Creek monster, right? there's a lot of people in my world that like to understand it. And so they can envision that, because having grown up there, it's all swamplands, right? At least once a year, I have a friend posting a picture of the alligator crossing the highway there. So we know what that looks like, but when you say the Kettle Moraine, they all go, "What, huh?"
Yeah. We have a couple listeners exactly. from Wisconsin. We have, probably two really good families. Tracy has friends that live out near Madison, yep. and we have another family that we're close with that live in the Dells. So we just didn't really know a lot geographically about the state.
Yeah, so we appreciate that. One of the other things I was really curious about is it just must have been a ton of fun to get the opportunity to work with Linda Godfrey, right? What a legend. How did that even come about?
With Linda, I started getting involved with the Bigfoot thing, and I contacted and reached out to her, and we have been since. So really, we met in 2011, but we are we're really good friends, and we have worked so much together on cases. I've helped her with some. Well, actually, she asked me for some help on a few of hers, and we have researched together. In fact, her grandson and my son are best friends, so they spend the night and do all that. Yeah, so it's really cool. So yeah, working with Linda, we thought she was a wealth of knowledge, and I always enjoyed listening to her because she is exactly what you'd call a researcher from not only talking with the people and interviewing, but understanding what they were talking about or what these type of encounters can actually develop from a wolf perspective. But I love Linda. The Godfreys are such wonderful people, and I'm actually blessed to.
Yeah, that shows in every one of her interviews. She comes across so realistic and just sincere, and she's a wealth of knowledge on the subject. So while we're on that subject and we're talking about dogmen, do they still get dogman reports up around Bray Road?
Yeah, and it's not just Bray. I mean, that's where a lot of these reports were coming from, but there's the surrounding area of Bray. And been some, I actually work with Lee Hample, and where he's just off Bowers Road, where he has been researching. Well, when he bought his farm out there, he had no idea what he was buying into until somebody said, "You seen the creature around here?"
And welcome to the neighborhood.
He's like, "Creature? Yeah, what are you talking about?" But the more he kind of outed, heard of a few neighboring farmers having some sort of sighting, he's been investigating a lot. Now, the weird thing, though, it's not for me, it's not so much that I haven't really seen any wolf type beast, but there are really bizarre phenomena of lights and mist coming right in between Bowers and Bray. And you kind of look at, you heard of the Skinwalker Ranch,
that's
right?
That's where I was just going to go with that. Right. Yeah. Skinwalker.
Yeah. And actually, I think Linda was calling Lee's farm Skinwalker Ranch Part Due because there's just some really bizarre occurrences that happen in that general area. So,
you got all that.
I haven't really heard
American
of anything. I've seen two
there.
Things on Bray. I was gonna say I've seen two things on Bray. Can't figure out what they are. I mean, one was a daytime sighting. Me and my wife, she was driving because that's an area that we kind of drove down, and what we heard. But honestly, it looks like any rural farm road. It's not like big tree or anything. It's just open farm and certain groves of trees here or there. And so she looked at me, rise, said, "Okay, let's go now." this is just how Katie is, which is kind of funny. And just as she was doing a three turn on this road, and it wasn't Bray, but it was a separate road that was off Bray. And all of a sudden, it was an rolling, all the trees were brown, all the fields were already plowed and everything like that. I see this auburn shape at the edge of the tree line, and it was weird because it just seemed out of place. It didn't resemble a man, definitely didn't resemble a deer or a horse, but it was auburn in color, and it stood out against the brown backdrop of the grove of trees. And I'm like, wait, it's telling Katie, let's just drive down there. So we're not going that fast, maybe 15 miles an hour. It was 100 yards down, and I'm looking at it. Katie's focusing on the road. I'm looking directly where this thing's at, and as the closer we got, it, I just want to say, became one with the woods. It never moved. You think something that has four legs, like a deer or horse, or a person that would walk would move. This was just there, and then it wasn't. It just say melted, as if all the auburn just became brown. And that, again, this is all the same when I started researching up in the kettle, to where I'm thinking, man, what is really going on out here? You know, I mean, it's just bizarre.
It sure is.
So I'm going to push you a little bit, right? So you're telling us you don't know what dog man is, and it's just something melted and appeared. Do you have any opinion that you're willing to share with us on what you think Bigfoot / Sasquatch is? Animal, alien, mist?
You know, like I said, it's it's always hard because I always like.
Is it a physical creature in your opinion? Because there's a pretty good argument going on nowadays as to whether, you know, are people, obviously people are seeing, obviously there's too many witnesses, obviously there's something going on out there. And the big argument now is, you know, is this a physical creature or are we seeing some type of, you know, wood spirit?
Alien.
You know, yeah, maybe.
Time traveler. Or something.
You know. Yeah, you know what? I mean, you got to remember the Native Americans have always said that Sasquatch, and I different name for it, different tribes had different names for it, but that it was a woods, a forest spirit. You know, again, that, you know, you can't really back that up. You got to take that at face value of that's what they're believe, just as though, you know, you can believe in God today or not, right? So you know your point's valid of physical or not. That's number one question. And I'm going to say I believe it's physical. It's an apparition out there. But where does it come from? Where does it go? We have found the one footprint. Actually, the ones that Katie and I found, we found 12 of them, and I actually followed them. The last one ended up on a fallen, had snow on it, and it looked like the heel or the front part. It was really hard to tell. Then there was nothing. Wow. There was no trees in this little I'm like, where did it go? I would say, either A, it jumped over 30 feet to grab a tree, which is impressive. B, it walked through a portal, which I think is the easiest thing to say to people. Nobody has really ever seen a portal, but, you know, is it a portal to another dimension? Or C, sprouted wings and flew away, which is even more terrifying.
Yes, it sure is. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, shapeshifter, right?
So you alluded to this a little bit, and I had it in the queue here for a question, but you know, have you tried gifting in any of the areas you recorded activity, and have you had any interesting results?
Oh yeah, yes, definitely. Now again, the bait with the apple, I don't really gifting.
Yeah, baiting and gifting.
That's
different.
More like. Baiting and gifting. No, I have gone out there. Actually, one of my nicknames a couple of years ago was Candyman, because I'd always come out with like a Baby Ruth or a Snickers or a
Snicker bar,
you know, or Snickers or something. We put it up in a location to where we've had the rocks thrown at us. You know, put it up in the tree, knowing any squirrel or raccoon or whatever is going to get to it up there is going to get it. You would leave it there, come back the following week. The candy bar was gone. Shocker, right?
Right.
But then we'd find the wrapper on the ground, and it was pristine, opened up. It looked like with little teeth. So I'm thinking maybe a squirrel. I still have the wrapper because it's wildlife out there. But I've done that plenty of times. I've never done it with objects. Again, we baited a log with marbles. See, this is one part that did not end up in Finding Jay, but it may end up in the second one, that we actually put some marbles out because we've heard if you gift with marbles, Bigfoot will move them around. I'm like, all right, cool. We took 19 marbles, put them on a log perfectly, put up a trail cam, left it for, I think, 16 days. Back, those marbles were gone. They were nowhere. I think there was one on the ground, but the other ones were gone. I'm like, well, that's cool. You know, I mean, like, I wonder if Bigfoot took them. So I got home, popped the SD card in from the trail cam, and those raccoons having fun with those marbles. They're just like picking them up and juggling them like a circus, you know.
Oh, that's too funny.
But again, going to the gifting, I don't think I've ever gifted with an object, and I stopped doing the candy bars. I was eating them before I put them up there.
There you go. Nobody needs that, right?
No, exactly. So, yeah.
So one of the other stories we found really interesting was the story with Randy, the ex-cop, right? So he just seemed like a really credible guy.
Yeah, not to give away too much of what's in the film. But
yeah, and we don't want to give it away because we want people to watch it.
Really, really interesting experience.
It's a fascinating story.
We were hoping maybe you could tease that a little bit and share Randy's story.
Yeah, I definitely will. Now, Randy, pretty much a non-denominational church, right here in our hometown, small, you know, maybe about 100 people. And I'm just going to kind of set Randy up a little bit. Randy's always been a great guy. He's like, you know, when I say he's the elder of a church or a pastor, doesn't mean that they're, whenever I say elder, I feel like people think that they're like sitting on thrones with robes and everything.
And staffs.
No, they're just.
Well, good for you. Half of our audience is from Southwest Arkansas and clearly know what small town, small church elders are. So yeah, we're tracking.
Well, exactly. So right, exactly. So an elder being part of the board of the church.
Right.
Okay. So to make a story quicker here, when I first met him in 2013, we hit it off really well. I hit it off really well, apparently. But he was such a nice guy. But I never brought what I do, my world, into church.
Right.
Because for the fear of being judged. And, you know, my wife's like, there's nothing wrong with what you're doing. You know, maybe ghost time where could be demonic or whatnot, but Bigfoot, come on, really? You can talk to them. They'd have a laugh over it. I still kept it quiet. Well, in 2015, I was doing a Milwaukee Paracom, and I went live. And this was the whole time where the church started friending me on Facebook. All right, I'm going to put my elder on here, a pastor of my church. Randy saw it, and he commented. Somebody did live in Milwaukee. Was, Jay, we need to talk. And I'm like, oh, no, oh man, I'm busted. You know, by beer, I'm going to be judged and everything. And I saw him that Sunday, and he pulled me aside, and he said, "Tell you what I saw back in 1985." And I mean, this is Randy. I mean,
and you get that impression from him. Yeah, I didn't know the movie. Right? He's just a humble, down to earth, honest human, and you can tell it just from his interaction on the movie. So this is great to hear this background because it supports how we felt when we watched the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And this is, I mean, he's a man of God. He is, you know, he was in law enforcement, and his wife, who was telling me this was after church that in 2015, his wife would just sit there and look at him and shake his head like, why are you telling this guy in church? Kind of like, stop. But that's how Randy felt with, you know, over the past 30 years. Right. You don't talk because, I mean, I can't even. I'm the butt end of every joke where I work. This guy looks for Bigfoot. You know, everyone laughs at me. That's fine. But how, if you don't look for Bigfoot and you happen to see one, what are you supposed to do with that?
Right.
Who you can't to? Go anywhere, you know. You can't go to, you know, well, he was a police at the time. And those guys, a lot of times people were asking, you know, all the other officers say when he drove up, and I won't spoil what happened because that's in the film.
Right.
But he's just ridiculed. And because we shared a bond, Randy and I, all of a sudden he knew what I was doing. It was even a special. So he was gracious enough to give me that interview. Because I said, have you ever told this before? And he was like, no, I wanted the whole story. So I got like 30 minutes of his interview. You know, I tried to put the best I could into it, but there's so much more to that.
Yeah, it's a interesting. Great interview. Yeah, it is. And the more one of the reasons we do this podcast is just to give that avenue for people to talk about these things. You know, the more we talk about it, the more our friends come to us, our coworkers are like, you know what, this thing happened to me.
Everybody's got a story.
Everybody has a story
when you're doing
this. Interesting.
Yeah, sooner like they'll walk away, they'll laugh, and then about 5 minutes later, circle back and they'll go, well, there was this one.
There was this time.
Say, I was just going to add on saying I do videography for weddings and stuff like that. And, you know, I get chummy with everybody. Next thing I talk about my documentary and they'll say, what's it about? And I'll say Bigfoot. And the reason why I do it, it's not so much for, you know, to go on Prime to go see it or buy the Blu-ray. It's I want to know more stories. I want to keep hearing this, you know, from different people. I would never have heard that Randy. And that's really important because that's actually in Illinois, but not too far because we're really close to the border, Wisconsin, Illinois. But that was, and you know, you start thinking about the Green Mile,
right?
And, So you just know they're out there. But yeah, so
no, we 100% agree with
so
you.
It's blessed
been,
to
yeah, one of the that. One of the goals of our podcast has been to, you know, normalize this a little bit. That's kind of one of the things we wanted to do. We're trying to create a community where people can come and share their stories without judgment. You know, a lot of our personal experience stories will give the people the option of coming on anonymously, you know, completely anonymously. But it's funny, nobody ever takes that option.
No, they always want to.
They always want to tell their stories. So right? You know, there shouldn't be as much stigma as there is attached to it. And we're hoping maybe with what we do here, we can break that down over time.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, it's, you're able to let me come on and talk. And there are a lot of people that wanted me to more comprehensive of what it is that I'm experiencing. It's, you know, trying to coax me more to say it is Bigfoot. And with that said, if it wasn't for the footprints, if it wasn't for the rock throws or stick throws, red eyes, these are all classic cases of what other people have experienced. So I can only relate, you know, those reports that happen in, the West Coast or Kentucky or Ohio or Pennsylvania, New York, all these, they all have some similar similarities to them. So, you know, I'm using those reports kind of with my research and just trying to identify them. That's all I can really do.
Yep, it is all you can do. But it's been awesome to talk to you tonight. So one of the things I need you to do me the favor of is let our listeners know how to find you. How can they find you out there on the internet? How do they buy your stuff? How do they get your movie?
How do they interact? That is great. Well, first, I want to thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to come and share my encounters or my research. They can actually get a hold of me. You can find me book. That'd be the best place with my name, J.A. Bachochin. You can actually go to my website, upihuntsthetruth.com. There's also a link to get to my Facebook. To be able to see Finding Jay, just go on Prime, type in Finding Jay. It'll pop in there. If you're on Prime, it's a free watch. And that's my goal, is to let the world see this so that the next set of researchers tomorrow in different locations can relate to what's going on with my, that's going to help them with theirs. So that would be the best way to get a hold of me. I do have some Blu-ray still, if anybody's into collecting those. That's why I made them. They can actually purchase those off the website as well.
Awesome.
You like collecting them, but you didn't want to collect that many of them, right, Jay? You'd like to share them with other people?
Other collectors need to share.
Yeah, I would. Exactly. You know what I mean? You know, I know. Exactly. That's what I'm always saying. You know, you got to put them out there. You don't want to make too many of them, but you don't want to make them too less. So, you know, so they're there. They're in great condition and they're shrunk wrapped. So
awesome.
Nice. So are you working on any new projects right now?
Not right now. I am focusing on just research. I'm just like I was the first 5 years, without that thought of another project of 5-2. Everybody's wanting that from me. And I always say, it took me 5 years to put this out, maybe in another 5 years, but it's basically this. It's like, I want to put out quality. I don't want to put out quantity, because that would really, from what I'm trying to do, I'm not going to buy an island with this film I put on Amazon Prime. and if I make another the same thing, it's not going on a network. I want the truth to be told. And actually, I need for myself, and maybe prove it to my wife, then I'll be happy.
Hey, I'm Matt DeSanto. I'm famous. Google me. Anyway, when I'm not busy racking up prizes on Wheel of Fortune, I'm listening to Wicked Garden Podcast.
That was a great interview. I appreciate Jay coming on.
It was a great interview.
That documentary took how long?
5 years. This is 5 years out of this man's life. So he went back through 5 years of video and audio and told a very compelling story.
Yeah, it really is good. You guys make sure you check it out on Amazon Prime. And Jay, thanks a lot for being on the show. We really appreciate it. Wanted to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, we're getting all ready for Turkey Day. I've got to find a giant somewhere in the next, 100 miles of the shore, because evidently there's no giants at the shore.
Giants is a supermarket free turkey for anybody who lives anywhere other than in the Northeast.
I got to go get my free turkey.
Free turkey coupon that we might get stiffed on.
I'm thinking we're going to get stiffed because I'm not driving all the way to, you know, the Lehigh Valley, and which I'm is 2 hours from here.
And I'm urging her to just go ahead and buy a turkey. So we'll see how this works out. We may be turkeyless. Who knows? But
or have two.
Yeah, right. So it's been a really good weekend for us as an organization. We got some really great news yesterday.
We did.
We're going to be getting into a place that not a lot of people get into. And we're going to be getting in there free of charge, which is pretty cool. And this is in an area that's extremely haunted, extremely exclusive, and may give us, who knows, the opportunity to do our own documentary.
Well, and steeped in history, like real history.
Absolutely.
That is critical to this part of the world. So not only is it haunted, but it gives us the opportunity to kind of do a deep dive into the history of the location as well.
Yeah, so it's been a great weekend. We're going to continue to send those good vibes your guys' way. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
We'll catch you next time.
See you after the holiday.